a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Let's pray. Father, we need you right now. So we pray that you would send to us your Spirit, giving us eyes, faith to see you. As we close out a year and contemplate the beginning of another, we pray that you would be with us, giving us desire to seek you, to know you better. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this is the week, the end of 2025. We welcome 2026, a new year. And this kind of pause in our schedules for many of us is just a unique time to reflect upon the past, to reflect on what is to come, and to reflect on what's important in life. And we will seek to do that as we think upon Psalm 63. We'll begin with the setting of the psalm. And we see it right in the superscription to the psalm, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Where was David? He was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, David was in the wilderness of Judah a couple different times, if you recall the history. At one point, for years, he was in the wilderness of Judah fleeing from Saul. And then again, he was in the wilderness of Judah when he was fleeing from Absalom. And we think it's probably in the latter point because in the flight from Absalom, it says in verse 11, seems to be autobiographical, but the king, that is David, shall rejoice in God. Well, he wasn't king when Saul was chasing him. He was king when Absalom was on his tail. So why was David running from Absalom? And perhaps you'll recall David's sin of adultery and murder by proxy. And he was unrepentant. He was hiding. He was running from God then. And so God sends a prophet, the prophet Nathan. And Nathan confronts him about his sin, and David melts and confesses his sin, and Nathan says, you are forgiven, the Lord has put away your sin, but the consequences of your sin remain. He says, you struck down Uriah with a sword, taking his wife to be your wife, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, sin is against God, and you've taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife, thus says the Lord. Here's the consequences. Behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, etc. So evil out of David's own house. So on three separate situations, we have his son Amnon rising up and committing evil. We have his son later in life, Adonijah. But the main thing was his son Absalom, who hatched a conspiracy to rebel against David and take over the kingdom. And he did this. He did this over a period of years, but then pulled the trigger at this point and was entering Jerusalem with an army. And so David is on the run for his life with his loyal followers. And he runs to the wilderness of Judah, 2 Samuel 15, 23. And there, that is the situation that David finds himself in when he writes this psalm. Think about it, you know. David has lost his position as king, his privileges as king, his wealth as king. He's bearing shame and scorn as he runs for his life. Remember Shimei? David and his whole company are marching along, and Shimei, this lowlife, throws rocks at him and throws dirt at him and calls him names and bearing shame. And his life is in danger. Absalom and the army are pursuing him. He's got to eliminate David for it to be recognized that Absalom will be the king. And I think, reading into the situation, hanging over his head at all times is the knowledge that he brought it all on himself. It was his fault. It was the consequences for his sin. His sin is forgiven, but he bears the consequences. So David's in the wilderness geographically, a dry and weary land where there is no water, verse 1. David is in the wilderness emotionally. He's running. He's suffered great loss. He's in danger for his life. Maybe you're in your own wilderness this morning as you're here in a desperate, dry, and weary place in your life. Maybe you've suffered loss. Maybe you're troubled about past sins. Maybe you're alone and the future seems bleak, like David. Maybe there will be something in what David says that will speak to you. Well, this is the setting. We move then to verse 1 and we examine David seeking. So here's David in the wilderness, suffering, lacking, losing so much. But what does he need most? What's number one on his mind? Food? Military reinforcements? Restored family relationships? In the wilderness, where does David's mind instinctively go? Well, listen. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. He reflexively, in the wilderness, turns to God. Though he's in desperate circumstances, though he may feel haunted that it was all about his sin and folly that put him there, his focus in his time in the wilderness is completely on God. And God is no stranger for David. This is a prayer he has prayed before, a conversation he has held before, familiar territory for David. Oh God, you are my God. What he's saying is that the God who is God, and all that conveys about his power and his holiness and his infinite wisdom, everything that constitutes being God, this God is my God, David says. All that he is to me. It's personal. Oh God, you are my God. And David once again steps up to claim this promise, this relationship for himself. God, you are my God. I believe. Help my unbelief. And he says, earnestly, I seek you. You are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. Though you are my God, I'm not okay with a static, nominal relationship with God. I seek to know you more. I seek diligently. It is more important than all the other concerns that I have here in the wilderness. And I don't want to just know about you. Like, I can't do this over text. I'm not okay with merely knowing you from a distance. Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Because you are my God, I long for you. My soul thirsts. Vivid language. I need water to live. I desire water just to maintain my existence. Thirst. Powerful. There's no reasoning with thirst. There's no forgetting thirst. There's no despising thirst. There's no overcoming thirst by a stoical indifference. Thirst will be heard. And this is how David describes his seeking God. My soul thirsts for you. And my flesh faints for you, body integrated with soul. If you feel fear, if you feel anxiety, if you feel stress, if you feel anger, there are bodily reverberations to this emotional condition. You secrete adrenaline and you're on high alert. Your legs or hands may start shaking. The palms start sweating. David's seeking, David's longing for God is felt in his whole being, soul and body. My flesh, my soul thirsts, faints for you. So David is saying that he does not just desire mercy from